What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're going to talk about dreams, how to think about them biblically, how to interact with them. And some of you, and I know I personally can resonate with having just wacky dreams. Where did the dreams that we have come from? So that's the goal of today's episode. We'll do that in two segments. But first of all, if you haven't looked at Fortis Plus, oh man, I was listening to Adam Tyson's podcast this morning. I was listening to Brad Bigney's podcast this morning. Guys, go to Fortis Plus. It's the app. Download the app. You have such good content there. What Todd has done with Fortis is quite impressive. And so there's going to be more information than you can honestly listen to right now. So go in, start tinkering, find good stuff, good content. Anyways, I'm very proud of that. So this is the future. Trust organizations. Don't trust the Lone Ranger pastor. This will be part of the future. We need peer review. We need vetted organizations. We need folks that are holding us accountable. So if I ever go Lone Ranger, hey, I'm starting GregGiffordMinistries.com. I want you guys to unsubscribe from me. Don't do it. Don't trust the Lone Ranger. Trust the organization. So back to dreams. I had a dream recently. This is in all sincerity. I had a dream recently. I had a friend growing up. We were buddies throughout school, including Bible college. He went one way for ministry. I went another way. And he started walking in sin. And so that friendship came to an end. But I had a dream recently about him, not in a creepy way, but just a dream that he wasn't doing well. And I got to reach out to him. And then that friendship was restored. So when I woke up from my dream, I authentically missed my friendship with my buddy. Something that I don't currently have. His sin has prevented us from being able to be restored as of now. So when you have a dream like that, where does that come from? Or maybe you've had another type of dream where you're running from someone for your life, you're being chased and hunted. Maybe you're the hunter in the dream and you wake up looking at your hands and you're like, oh, thank God, I didn't just kill 40 people. Where do those dreams come from? Have you ever thought about that? What should you do with that dream? Well, just biblically speaking, we do know that dreams are a part of the scripture. The dreams that we see in scripture, though, I want to show them to you and then articulate what is the purpose of dreams that we primarily see in the scripture. So dreams in the Bible, back in the Old Testament, as early as Genesis 28, verse 10, we see Jacob's dream. There's a ladder going to and fro from heaven to earth. Joseph has a dream, Genesis 37. Verse 5, he shares it with his brothers. The scripture says in Genesis 37:5 that they hate him even more. You could speculate whether that was a sinful dream or whether it was just more of a prophetic dream. God was showing what will happen. I would tend towards the latter, that Joseph doesn't seem to be boasting in any way. In the New Testament, Jesus's earthly father in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, has a dream, and in the dream is told about the birth of Jesus. Pilate's wife has a dream about Jesus, and she says, be careful with this man, talking to Pilate. Matthew 27, verse 19, she has had many bad dreams about Jesus. She knows something's not right. It's interesting because you look at the New Testament and Old Testament, and God's people and unbelievers have dreams. There's nothing to suggest that Pilate's wife was a follower of the Messiah, and yet God gave her dreams. When we're talking about dreams, we're talking about something like that. In fact, I would even draw one more slice of division between a dream and a vision. And you may say, Dr. Gifford, why would you do that? Because a vision seems to take place while you're awake, so you're not asleep. So a vision, Isaiah 6 is a great example of this. Isaiah 6 has a vision of the Lord. Paul in Acts 9 has a vision of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul speaks about his thorn in the flesh. Do you remember that? And that the thorn in the flesh was given to him because of the visions and revelations that were also given to him. So why draw the difference? Because dreams seem to be taking place while you're asleep. You remember it in some way. It comes back to your mind in some way. You wake up from it in some way. Now, some of us, in all fairness, we don't remember anything. We sleep like a rock and we wake up and we're like, ugh. But some of you have very vivid recollections of your dreams. You can sleep through the whole night, wake up, and then give a 5-minute debrief of what your dreams were like. The purpose of the dreams that are mentioned in the scripture are primarily as revelation. And I know I'm not here to prove cessationism or continuationism to you. Those are terms to describe how God speaks and the gifts that may or may not exist right now. My goal is not to make a case for one of those, but what you do see in the scripture is that God used dreams as a form of special revelation. Acts 16 is a great example, a dream of a man from Macedonia telling Paul to come over to Macedonia and to help. And that was very directional. So Luke joins Paul in Troas and they end up going up to Philippi and then down Greece toward Corinth. But God used that dream to get Paul moving. So what is it that the scriptures teach is that at least in the scripture, that dreams were used to guide people, to direct them. Now, whether you believe that dreams continue to take place for that purpose or not, or whether you believe that dreams are continuing revelation, you at least have to agree that the Bible is the final authority. So what do I mean by that? Even if you believe that dreams are continuing today to guide people, you have to see that the scripture is the final authority. So that means if you have a dream, you need to vet what your dream says with the word of God. Why do I say that so emphatically? Because 2 Peter chapter 1 says that. So if you have a Bible, and I hope that you do, let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, I know many of you drive as you're listening to this podcast, or you're multitasking, cleaning, working out, whatever you're doing. But a good habit to get into is to find a nice Bible, a hard copy Bible, and use that to study. And I think you'll see that it really does influence your Bible knowledge. So find that Bible and mark this verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Peter says, "We have a more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts." We have as more sure the prophetic word. Did you catch that? More sure than what? Well, verses 16 through 18 are a form of revelation where Peter's talking about Mount Transfiguration. And in that miraculous moment, Matthew 17, Peter says that the Bible, the scripture, is more sure, more reliable than even that form of special revelation. So whatever you believe about dreams, if they're continuing or not continuing, you must believe that the Bible is more authoritative than your dream. So if you have a wacky dream that does not match what the Bible says, or the Bible rebukes what's happening, or it contradicts what you dreamed of, then you need to let the Word of God shape and be authoritative to your dreams. Even if you believe they guide you, the Word of God is more authoritative than your dreams. Draw that line very clearly, guys. So the purpose of dreams was in the scripture to guide people. And then now, if you still hold that position, now you must see that the Bible is the final authority. So it at least must be confirmed by the scripture before you're going to see it as guidance. So then let's start to pose the question, where does the dream come from? If dreams are in the Bible, those are part of the purposes of the dreams. Where do dreams come from? That's a hard question because sometimes they feel so alien to us. I didn't choose that. I don't want to dream about me murdering people. I don't want to dream about immorality. I don't want to dream about me being on the run and wake up in a frenzy. I don't want to dream about that stuff. So where does that stuff come from? Well, again, so first of all, if it's not a form of God directing you, then where does it come from, practically speaking? Well, it comes from your inner person. So your thoughts, your intentions, according to the scripture, are not alien to you. They are coming from your inner person. So let's just push it down a little bit further. What about your unconscious thoughts? Yeah, totally. Your unconscious, unguarded thoughts, where do those thoughts come from? Well, according to the scripture, those thoughts come from your heart, not something outside of you, not something that you ate, not even a medication that you're taking, and a medication can shape having dark thoughts for sure. But what is the source of your cognition? Biblically, either saying the heart or the mind would be an appropriate way to describe where those thoughts come from. So what is a dream? If by a dream, all you mean is what you did while you were sleeping, your unguarded, unconscious thoughts, what is that? That is a thought that is just simply unconscious, unguarded, meaning I didn't choose it. I'm in a very passive mode, but I'm still living out what is going on in my heart. So when we come back, we're going to go to Genesis 6:5, and I'm going to show you scriptures that talk about thoughts coming from your heart. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And you know what's been really helpful in understanding anxiety and those racing thoughts that sometimes lead to the disturbing dreams that he's talking about? I would say it's Paul Todge's devotional, Anxiety, Knowing God's Peace. It's a 31-day devotional that really gets to the heart of fear and unbelief, and it helps you locate that inner security and peace that can only come to us from trusting God. I've been recommending this resource a lot lately because it's so practical in helping you learn to take those anxious thoughts captive. It's Paul Todge's devotional, Anxiety, Knowing God's Peace, and you can find it right now at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of taking thoughts captive, I'm really excited to talk about what's happening at the Masters University. Did you know this year, TMU ranked number 6 nationwide for career preparation? That's according to the Wall Street Journal, a secular publication. That's a really big deal. It's incredible. And with scholarships over $20,000 a year, there's really no reason not to apply if you know a young believer who's preparing for college. There's honestly no better place than TMU. You can get more information right now at masters.edu/transformed. And you know, another excellent resource that I would like to recommend to you on how to deal with trouble thoughts is Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling. It's written by Bob Kelman and Steve Byers. It's comprehensive, but it is very, very, very practical in showing you how God's truth can genuinely change lives. Bob Kelman and Steve Byers and Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling. You can pick it up right now at fortisinstitute.org, and I highly recommend that you do. Also, while you're there at fortisinstitute.org, click the link and check out Fortis Plus. I mean, seriously, you've got to download our app or check it out at fortisplus.org. It's completely free, and you get 7 brand new individual pieces of audio and video content every single day for free. I was just listening to Adam Tyson's podcast, Way of Manhood, over the weekend. Fantastic stuff for the Gen Z in your life. And our fellows director, Jason, he puts out amazing director's cuts every single day that will make a difference in your life. Check out Fortis Plus. Again, it's absolutely free. There is no subscription model at all. And listen, if you want to stay informed about all of the great content that we're producing, all you have to do is be a Fortis Insider. You can do that as well at fortisinstitute.org. Just give us your email address, and 5 days a week, we'll bombard your email inbox with an email of all of the new content for that day that has been posted. And you'll be the first also to hear about our free webinars with our fellows. And you'll find Gary Varvel's weekly cartoon drawn just for Fortis Institute. You can find all of that at fortisinstitute.org and sign up to become a Fortis Insider. Also, while you're there, would you prayerfully consider joining us in this labor of love? By partnering with us in our ministry, you help us continue to stand firm and provide content for this brave new world that we're all in. You can find out more about what it looks like to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner at fortisinstitute.org. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford as he continues to discuss dreams. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about dreams in this episode, dreams. And I've gotten this question randomly throughout my teaching and biblical counseling. I myself have wondered this question when I have a wayward dream. I mentioned the dream of my buddy and remembering our relationship or friendship being restored. In the last segment, I said the purpose of dreams in the scripture was primarily revelation and a means of special revelation. And that even if you believe God is continuing to do that today, what you must believe is that God's word, the Bible, is the final authority. So it is my position that God speaks through the word primarily, that he doesn't use dreams anymore. But if you're holding that position that he uses dreams, then we at least agree together that God's word, the Bible, is the final authority. So where do they come from? Well, consider a few passages about where your thoughts come from. So this is Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Remember, in the context of Noah and the judgment that was preparing to come, go and look at some of Jason Lyle's work at Fortas Institute. The Bible teaches a worldwide flood. And the reason why is because evil was worldwide. Genesis 6, 5. Then Yahweh saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Interesting. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart. Now, sometimes we would place our thoughts in the brain, go back to the mind versus brain series, and we blame it on the brain, to use an Ed Welch term. Or sometimes we think of our thoughts as coming from outside of us, a medication that we're taking, or they're coming from our bodies in some ways. But fundamentally, the evil of Noah's time was coming from the hearts of people, that every intention of their thoughts were evil. And where were their thoughts coming from? Their heart. Another example is in Hebrews 4:12, you're going to see that the sharpness of God's word, and this is the written word of God as opposed to Jesus, the sharpness, the accuracy, the precision of God's word, it can do this. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Where do your thoughts come from? They come from your heart, according to the scripture. Your mind is a different term than cardia here. Your mind is that source of cognition. So you renew your mind, Ephesians 4:23, and that is primarily an emphasis on your cognition and your thinking. So all that to say, where do your thoughts come from? They come from your immaterial person, your heart, your mind, your soul, whatever you want to call that. Jesus knows the thoughts of the hearts of the religious leaders, and that's why he says, take up your bed, be healed, oh, and you are forgiven as well, Luke 5:22-23. So thoughts come from your heart. So where do unconscious thoughts come from? Your heart. If we are talking about that unguarded thought, and that's what your dream is, where does that dream come from? That is coming from your heart. So even a daydream, we would use that term daydream. You're driving in the car, you kind of space out for a second, your mind is drawn to something, and sometimes it's even a little bit freaky because you snap out of it after 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and you're like, oh man, I don't remember those past 15 seconds of driving this car at 75 miles an hour. Oh, where did that daydream come from? Well, it came from your heart. So here is kind of the practical turn where biblical counseling starts to insert itself. What do you do about dreams that are wayward or terrifying? Seriously, you wake up in a cold sweat. You wake up relieved that you're not guilty of murder. I've had those dreams before, in all honesty. I'm like, oh, thank God that was a dream. Lord, please. Also, impure dreams. What do you do about impure dreams? You've dreamt? Maybe, is that past tense? I don't know. You've dreamed about something that was dishonoring to the Lord regarding purity. So let me start with just a thought. There is a group, I don't know if medical doctor would be the proper way to say it, probably closer to just health specialist, nurse. A sleep specialist is someone that you may want to go see if you sense that these dreams are extremely frequent. They're happening all the time. Every night you just have horrible sleep. You wake up and it's in a cold sweat. I think that visiting a sleep specialist would be helpful because sometimes there's things like oxygen levels, you know, you're choking, so you need a CPAP machine. Those types of things may be part of what's influencing you. But fundamentally, the sleep specialist cannot get to the inner person. They're going to talk about how much oxygen and how well you're sleeping and go over your REM cycles with you. So that's all they're going to be able to do for you. But if you're at a point where it's almost debilitating in your dreams, then it would be helpful to go and talk to a sleep specialist, do a sleep study. Usually they have you stay overnight somewhere while they monitor your sleeping. But next, more biblically, evaluate what you have been thinking about, especially right before bed. What is the last thing that your mind was thinking about before you went to bed? And you'll find it is regular that the connection of your dreams correlates to what you were thinking about that day. So if you were just watching a raunchy movie and then you go to sleep, what do you think is going to happen? Or if you were just watching Rambo Part 12, yo, Adrian, what do you think your dream's going to be about, in all honesty? Of course, there will be elements of what you were just meditating on in your mind. So then what does that lead you to do? Well, if my dreams are awful, then one of the things that I want to focus on is renewing my mind with the truth of Scripture right before bedtime. Literally right before bed. So this is in all honesty, this is the way it works for some of us. We're getting ready for bed. We do one last scoop of social media, email. We check one more website, and then we turn on our alarm and we go to bed. So what is that time for you? 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever that is. In that moment, insert Scripture reading. Turn your alarm on and then read Scripture for that 5 minutes or that 10 minutes. Or renew your mind with the attributes of God and meditate on His mercy. Meditate on His holiness and purity. So right before you go to bed, in an acute way, focus on renewing your mind at that point. So if you're struggling with purity, what are you going to go meditate on? The holiness of God. If you're struggling with these violent dreams, maybe you're going to go meditate on gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit. Or you're meditating on these dreams where you're being chased by people and attacked, then you're going to meditate on God being your refuge and focusing on Him being your rock and why you will be safe and okay. So read your Bible. Don't fritter on your phone in those last waking moments. In fact, you may be feeding your bad sleep not only with the blue screen stuff, but a naturalist can say, yes, blue screen light's bad for your eyes and can affect your sleep. But what a naturalist cannot say is that what you're reading is actually affecting your mind and your heart. So don't fritter away on your phone. Renew your mind with the truth of Scripture. Don't watch unwholesome content through movies. There may be a sense in which this isn't even about, is it right or wrong to watch an R-rated movie? And I've answered that from some of the listener questions in the past. This isn't even about, can I watch a PG-13 movie or not? Or is it wrong to watch killing via a movie? That's not even, you're just saying, I'm not going to do it because I want to renew my mind. I've had too many wacky dreams here lately. And I want to have dreams that are peaceful. I want to have dreams that are honoring to the Lord. Even in my unconscious state, I want my thoughts to be honoring to the Lord. So then very practically, this was advice that was given to me through my professors here at the Masters University. When you wake up and you dreamt, I keep saying dreamt. I don't even know if that's a word. I am sorry to all of you English teachers out there. I do respect you. I'm going to try to use a different word. Dreamed. When you wake up and you had a dream and you know what you dreamed of was dishonoring to the Lord, what should you do? What is the practical thing to do? You haven't even got out of the bed yet. You've turned your alarm clock off. You're like, whoa, holy smokes. When you wake up, just like any wayward thought, repent of that dream. Lord, please help me to put off dreams like those. That is dishonoring to you. It did not represent the love of Christ. It did not represent gentleness or purity. Lord, please help me not to dream like that and help me to put on dreams that will be honoring to you. Even in the way that I dream, I want to honor you, Lord. If you dreamed of something sinful, then like any other wayward thought, take that thought captive by repenting of it. And then the put on is all the stuff that you're doing pre-bedtime, the renewing of your mind, the putting on of particular steps of attributes of God or verses that you're reflecting on. That's the put on. So in that way, do your best to renew your mind. You repent of it, turn from it, and then put on those actions just before bedtime. So what if it wasn't a sinful dream? It was just a wacky one. Well, in the end, the Bible is going to be your highest authority. Don't give that highest authority to your dream. If you just had something bizarre and wacky, a dog's chasing you, there's candy canes everywhere. If that, in all seriousness, it's like, well, I don't know if I repent of that, then just make sure it doesn't have some significance and authoritative sense in your life, which only the Bible should have. The Bible is your highest authority for faith and practice. So what does that mean? What do you do with that dream? I have no idea. I have no idea. You don't have to take that and repurpose your life based off of a wacky dream that you had. If it's not clear what you dreamt about, dreamed about, then make sure that you let the Bible be the authority and say, you know what? The heart is complicated. It is deep. Takes a man of understanding to draw it out, Proverbs 20, verse 5. I don't know why I dreamed that, but the Bible is my boss, and so I'm going to live by my faith, not by my dreams right now. So take these practical nuggets, apply them to yourself, and parents, if you're working with kids that are struggling with nightmares, really focus on helping them renew their mind, and I'll do a future episode as well by helping kids renew their minds especially kids that are struggling with nightmares. So let me pray for us and we'll be done for today. Lord, we do thank you that we can have minds that are renewed so that even we lay down in peace and we wake up in peace and refreshed, because we know that your word is true and you sanctify us according to your word and what Jesus said. So help us to dream things that honor you. Help us to wake up refreshed with a mind that is ready to serve you that day. Lord, set some of those who are listening to this free. Set them free from these dreams that are really intrusive and affecting even their days. Lord, set us free so that we can serve you well, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.